Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
The labor issue is a critical issue for all of agriculture and the dairy industry in particular. I want to focus in on an amendment that would address this issue and allow farm employers to use the H-2A visa program to hire foreign workers regardless of whether those employees are engaged in temporary or seasonal work. Here to talk about this amendment is Paul Blyberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul, thanks for joining us. Tell us more about this amendment and how do you see it helping, especially the dairy industry, when it comes to ag labor?
Thanks again, Mike, for having me on, and happy to give some background about this amendment here. And I want to make it really clear right off the bat. The dairy industry is in a full-blown labor crisis when it comes to this issue. We do not have a program that we can use right now at all because the current H-2A Ag Visa program only allows seasonal workers. It does not allow for year-round agriculture like dairy to participate. And as you know, dairy cows are milked 365 days a year. So it's absolutely essential for us to find any path forward that we can. The amendment that you just referenced that Congressman Henry Cuellar from Texas and Dan Newhouse from Washington added to an appropriations measure in the House this week gives us a temporary ability to use the H-2A visa program at least for the 2020 fiscal year that the bill is written for. And so it's a helpful first step, but I want to make really clear and avoid there being any kind of misperception here. We still very much need a comprehensive solution to our labor challenges, and that's, you know, reforming the guest worker program for the long haul so that dairy can use it permanently, as well as providing a pathway to legal status for the current workers that we already have. And so this is a very important measure that we'd like to see enacted by Congress to give us kind of a foot in the door, and that's why we're so grateful to Mr. Newhouse and Mr. Cuellar for pushing this, and we're going to be working with them to try to preserve it, but I don't want to have anybody confused. It's not a substitute for the permanent law that we need to have addressed.
Explain for us why the current H-2A visa program is not working for the dairy industry.
Sure. So the H-2A visa program, again, only allows for workers to come in under the program on a seasonal basis. And dairy farmers don't hire workers on a seasonal basis. They hire workers on a more ongoing basis because dairy farming is a year-round business. And since you're milking the cows every day of the year, you know, you can't just have workers come in and leave after 2 or 3 months. That's not really the way operations work as far as getting folks on the farm and up to speed and things like that. So that's why the H-2A program with the seasonal construct really has never worked for us, and it's not something that we can access. So you know, whether it's reforming H-2A like this amendment does in a temporary way at least, or making a new guest worker program that allows, you know, dairy workers and other year-round workers to come in, we need some kind of a change to that system.
Now, as you said earlier, the dairy industry in a full-blown ag labor crisis. Explain that for people that really don't understand or aren't aware of how this is impacting the dairy industry.
Sure. Well, and you know, the dairy and ag sector is not alone here, but it's essential for people to understand. Dairy farmers have made the best efforts possible to find domestic workers to do jobs on the farm, and we offer very competitive wages in the dairy industry. But there are not Americans that want to come and do a lot of these jobs, and that doesn't just apply to agriculture and dairy. It applies to construction, it applies to manufacturing, it applies to hospitality. There are a number of sectors of the economy for whom immigration reform is such a critical issue because it does deal with labor shortage, and obviously that affects productivity, and that affects the price of goods, and affects the price of milk that farmers are going to receive for their milk. And so it has so many economic impacts, and that's why we really do refer to it as a crisis. Probably about half of all farm labor, roughly, give or take, I'm not sure the exact number, is immigrant labor and dairy farms. So this is a really central issue for us, and we need some certainty around the problem.
And you touched on this, but I want to repeat it again, because so many people still say, oh, they're just, when foreign workers come into the U.S., they take jobs away from American workers. And as you said, we've seen this throughout agriculture, trying about everything you can think of to get people to take these jobs, higher wages, benefits, things like that, and they don't want to do them. They don't take those jobs.
That's absolutely correct, and that's why it's so essential, and we've been working on this for several years now, many years in Congress, to pass immigration reform legislation, and the issue comes up all the time, and there's always an opportunity to debate it. But unfortunately, the politics around the immigration issue beyond the scope of agriculture are so contentious that it's difficult for anything to get done in contentious political environments. And so for us, again, we need to grab every possible bite at the apple that we can, even if it's only a temporary fix. But, you know, a temporary fix is a foot in the door. It's a start.
That, to me, has been one of the very frustrating things about this whole immigration issue. I know it's very complex. It's emotional. But it seems like the approach has been, if we can't fix everything, we're not going to fix anything. And there are some things like this issue, the ag labor issue, that can be addressed and we can make progress on.
I think you're absolutely right. I think everybody largely does agree that this is an issue that can and should be fixed. I think the problem with the controversial issue is when you have a big issue like immigration and you have pieces of it like the ag labor issue that are more broadly supported, what tends to happen in politics is even the easier fixes tend to get put aside and they try to roll everything together into the big bill so that members of Congress are more comfortable voting for the big bill because it's got some of the more widely supported stuff in it, like an ag fix. And so even though this could get, you know, you could pass something on agriculture probably much sooner if you just negotiate it out, you know, even the more broadly supported issues tend to get balled up until there's an agreement on the bigger stuff. And that doesn't just go for immigration. That goes for anything.
Right. We're talking to Paul Bleiberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. All right. So we have this amendment. So what's it look like as far as getting anything actually done? Is it going to go anywhere?
Sure. Sure. So the process from here really it relates to what happens more broadly as it for government funding and things like that. So to put this in context, the amendment we're talking about was included in the House of Representatives version of the funding legislation for the Department of Homeland Security for the new fiscal year that starts on October 1st. So sometime this summer, the full House of Representatives is likely to pass this bill. And at the same time, the U.S. Senate will work on their own version of the bill. Later this fall, once the House and Senate and the White House reach kind of a broader agreement on how much money they're going to spend on each agency for the new fiscal year, that will enable Congress to kind of hash out their differences and negotiate a final product. In other words, the House bill and the Senate bill can kind of get merged and negotiated, and there'll be a compromise bill that gets sent to the president for his signature. And during that process, we'll be working with Congressman Newhouse and Congressman Cuellar and others to maintain this amendment in the bill, because it's in the House bill, and so we're going to want to make sure that it stays in the final bill. But, you know, again, this will be at the mercy of much more controversial stuff,
right?
Not just anything in the immigration space, but really just the broader debate over government funding will be contentious between Republicans and Democrats as to they decide how much money they're going to spend on different areas. And this amendment doesn't deal with spending itself, obviously, but because it's included in that kind of bill, it's going to be subject to what gets decided in these broader debates. And so our hope is we can get it included in the final bill, but we'll be working to do that.
As we see with so many things, when you have a legislation, even with bipartisan support, which is hard to come by, but you've got it here. Any individual piece of legislation doesn't seem to always come down to the merits of that piece of legislation. It's kind of held captive by other issues surrounding it that will determine whether or not that individual piece of legislation ever makes its way through.
That's exactly right, and because Congress moves so few pieces of legislation a year, most of what they do move tends to be very large bills that include a lot of smaller pieces. So we may be a bipartisan or non-controversial smaller piece, but if things on the large bill fall apart or they take out big sections of it for one broader political reason or another, you know, you can be at the mercy of that, and there's really nothing you could have done to change that outcome, which is one of the more frustrating aspects of the legislative process, trying to work within it, but it's something that we know is a factor, so we try to build it in ahead of time, and that really just comes down to building as much support as we possibly can.
Yeah. To me, that is one of the big frustrations of our system right now, is that there's so many things that could get done that don't, because they're caught up in bigger issues. And as I said, because they can't solve everything, they don't seem to get anything done. And I really find that frustrating. All right, Paul, thank you for bringing that to our attention. I mean, we talk a lot about ag labor in agriculture, but I think a lot of people still don't understand how it not only impacts farmers, but it impacts everyone when it comes to our ability to produce and supply our food.
Thanks again for the opportunity to have me on. We'll look forward to staying in touch on this, and we'll be doing what we can to get this across the finish line.
I hope we have some good news on it. Paul, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Paul Bleiberg, Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. As he said, the U.S. dairy industry in a full-blown ag labor crisis. All right, coming up next, President-elect of the National Corn Growers Association, Kevin Ross. He spoke at that event in Iowa this week, along with President Trump, and he, while thanking the president for getting that rule through to allow E15 sales year-round, he also challenged the president to address this waiver issue when it comes to the RFS. We'll talk with Kevin Ross about that coming up next here on AOA.